I notice again that there's another time of the shaking of nations going on. And my prayer is that in Iran, whatever happens, that there be a loosing of the hold of Satan on this nation, that there might be people now able to turn to the Lord and cry out for their salvation. And Lord, we do ask that the word of the blood of Jesus comes to that nation that has been so dark. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Use this circumstance, Lord, for your honor and glory in Jesus' name. And any other nation that is involved in this.
Amen.
Well, let us turn to the book of Judges again. I think we need to take another look at Samson and where we finished was when he had caught 300 foxes, tied them tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst and set them free in the Philistine grain fields. And I'm sure they lost a lot of grain. Well, they had been plundering and stealing from the Israelites, and now it seems that God turned the thing about. And it's their turn to suffer loss. Well, they didn't like that at all. And they're going to go after Samson. So let me just read a few verses here from Judges 15. From Judges 15, start in verse 9. And then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. Now I understand that the word Lehi means jawbone. There must have been a rock formation there that resembled the lower jawbone of like a horse or an ass. They spread themselves. And the men of Judah said, "Why are ye come up against us?" Now, they didn't offer to try to fight the Philistines. They just said, "Why are you here? What are you doing?" And they answered, "Why are we here? To bind Samson." Amen. Basically, what they wanted to do was imprison Samson. To bind Samson, and we come up to do to him as he had done to us. Well, he was doing to them as they had done to him. So it's going back and forth. They took his so-called bride away, and he said, "Well, I'm going to get even with them." Then 3,000 men of Judah, 3,000. Come on, it takes 3,000 of his own brethren to come after their brother, one man. Amen. 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock, Etam, and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so have I done unto them." Samson, don't you know that they're the boss? Don't you know they can do anything to us that they want? What are you doing? You're upsetting everything. We're not supposed to fight them. We're supposed to submit to them. Well, they're the devil. We're supposed to submit and give in to the devil. And everybody will be happy and everybody will get along. You're just upsetting everything. Well, how did Israel get into the position where the Philistines were lording over them? is they had turned away from the Lord their God. There was no more protection from the Lord. They were going after the idols. They were going after the Philistine women. They were going after everything Philistine. They had adopted the Philistine culture and no longer had their own. All right. So this is why the problem is. And God has sent Samson to turn things around. All right. And they said to him, "We are come down to bind these 3,000 of his brethren." How big is a crowd of 3,000? My goodness, have you ever been in a crowd of 3,000? I think I've been in a crowd of maybe 1,000 or several hundred at least. It's a pretty big crowd. If they all tell you they're here to bind you up and to put you in prison, you don't have much chance in the natural, do you? So they said to him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." In other words, you're not going to kill me. If that's all you want to do, if you just want to tie me up, put the shackles on me, go ahead, you can do that, but don't try to kill me. Okay? And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee to their hand, but surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new cords and brought him up to the rock. Amen. Where is this business about your own brethren persecuting you? Why does this have to happen? Does the church persecute the brethren? Oh, yes, they do. How long has this been going on? Well, since the days of Abraham. It's been going on. Let me read you in Galatians 4. There's a verse here that I have quoted many times. Galatians chapter 4. Let me find it here. Galatians 4. Here we are. And we come to verse 29. Okay. "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. Even so it is now." So it's happening back in the days of Samson. Samson was a man after the Spirit. Okay? He was born after the call of the Spirit. And now 3,000 of his own brethren, 3,000 others of the church are coming after him, and they're going to turn him over to the devil, to the Philistines. Philistines, the people of the world. Give him to the people of the world. They can do whatever they want, but he's stirring things up. Things were going along peacefully. We knew where everybody belonged. We knew that we had to pay taxes to them. We knew that they could come and take anything they wanted, and we just let them go. So we're turning him over to the Philistines. Now it says here, let me go back to Judges. "And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him." All right, the first thing is the Philistines shouted against him like they were at a football game. You know, rah, rah, here he is. Come on, go team, go. You know, let's take him. Let's Let's hang him. Let's do whatever we're going to do. Let's kill him. You know, let's get even with him. So the Philistines are shouting. Did it do them any good? You know, the Philistines, they were a shouting people, weren't they? Back in the days of David. What happened? Every day, this big Goliath would come out. And he'd shout to the camp of the Israelites, "Send a man to fight with me, you know, we're the champions." And they made a big noise. Sometimes Israel would shout, but it didn't necessarily do them any good. You don't necessarily win by shouting. So anyway, the Philistines shouted. Let me see. The Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, I'm surprised the Spirit of the Lord didn't come on him when his own brethren, his own church, his own people, when they bound him, he just let them go ahead and do it. Somehow he knew that God was going to deliver him when the time came. He did not fear for his life. But the Spirit of God came upon him. Amen. Now, this is before the Holy Spirit was poured out. The Spirit was still alive and well. In the days of Samson, Spirit came upon him. Amen. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. He was loosed. Amen. You know, the Spirit of God will set us free from the bondage of the devil. Not necessarily your own might and your own strength, but let the Spirit of God come upon you. Amen. And you know, the devil, it seems every time we come on, the devil is trying to afflict somebody. The devil's trying to afflict us. The devil's trying to afflict Connie. The devil is trying to afflict Madeline. This one, that one. Where are we being attacked? Mostly, we're being attacked in our flesh. And how are we reacting to it? Are we allowing the Spirit of God to deal with these attacks of the enemy? How do we allow the Spirit of God to deal with these attacks, even against our own flesh? Well, first of all, we call upon the name of the Lord, and we know that the Lord is our deliverer, the Lord is our healer. And if that isn't enough, we begin to praise the Lord, and we begin to thank the Lord. How about it, brethren? Do you thank the Lord in your tribulation, in your persecution? Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for persecution. Thank you, Lord, for my troubles. But in the name of Jesus, I'm still going to rebuke the devil. I'm going to bring the blood of Jesus against him, because the blood prevails. Amen. The gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. So, the bonds were loosed, and now he's going on the not just the defense, but he's going on the offense. Hallelujah. It says, and he found a new jawbone of an ass. Right there, where the name of the place was Jawbone. Wouldn't you know, he found a jawbone there. Amen. A jawbone of an ass, and he put forth his hand and took it and slew 1,000 men. Wow. I mean, when the Spirit came upon this man, he's going to have devils and demons thrown into the abyss. He's going to throw the devils this way and that way. And it just happened to be Philistines that were coming in the spirit of the devil. Amen. He slew 1,000 men. Where did we? Oh, here it is. Psalms 91. Let's look at Psalms 91. You know the word, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, Samson was under the shadow. He was under the covering. What was his covering? The type of his covering was his hair, but it was a type of the covering under Christ. So Samson himself, being a type of Christ, he was dwelling under the shadow of the Spirit of God. Amen. So let's go on. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He will cover thee with his feathers. In this case, it was his hair. But it was like the feathers of God covering this man, his covering. Amen. They didn't know what his secret was. They didn't know that his covering, his hair, was like under the feathers of the Almighty. Amen. Under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and we should add on every side. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Amen. What would you be trusting now if you believed in Christ? If you're living in Tehran, Iran, and it's Saturday morning and the missiles are flying, are you going to put your trust in the Lord? Amen. Thou shalt not be afraid of the arrow. Where is it? The arrow that flieth by day. Now the word arrow really is missile. Thou shalt not be afraid of the missile that flieth by day. My goodness, they've got missiles that'll fly thousands of miles now. Iran would like to find one that would fly all the way over here on this continent, but they haven't come quite that far yet. But they're shooting missiles out to other countries now too. Any other country that they believe might have helped Israel or America, they're shooting their missiles, flying out. If you're in any of those places, you have to put your trust in the Lord. He's not, okay. Now, what else? Here we go. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. 1,000. What happened with Samson? It says 1,000. Amen. And he slew 1,000 men therewith. You know, when I'm thinking about these Philistines shouting against him, I'm thinking of Revelation chapter 12, and let's see what the action of the enemy is going to be. The warfare is going on right now in the heavenlies. Michael and the angels are fighting against him in that higher realm, and we're fighting in the lower realm here. We're fighting from the standpoint of the mortals here, and he's being cast down into our realm. What's he do? How does he like that? He doesn't like it at all. Let's read verse 15 here. It says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. What's coming out of his mouth? Accusations, shouts. He claims victory. He's hating the church. He's hating the sons of God. Amen? And when the dragon cast out of his mouth, amen, the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Amen. The earth, the carnal realm, is going to absorb the hatred and the venom of the devil as he's being cast down into our level. Hallelujah. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. Hallelujah. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which kept the commandments of the God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Who's he making war with? The man-child, the sons of God. The warfare is going to increase, brethren, because he's getting very angry. Hallelujah. He's being cast down. He knows his time is short. Well, 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand. Hallelujah. So, let's go on here. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men. I don't know how he was keeping track. He must have just had the Lord reveal that he had 1,000 men. He wasn't counting them. He was too busy. He was too busy. Why did he use a jawbone? Somebody's going to tell us that when we get into the discussion. I don't know why he chose a jawbone, unless it had something to do with the word. The word comes through the jaw, comes through the mouth. And so he took the jawbone of an ass. And what a weapon, jawbone of an ass. Well, okay. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking, oh my, he's using his mouth here, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Lehi. And that means, let's see, that means Jawbone Heights. Jawbone Heights. It sounds like a fancy housing development, doesn't it? Jawbone Heights. Oh, we've got new houses here for sale in Jawbone Heights. People be running to try to buy one of those new houses. Jawbone Heights. Amen. And he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance unto the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? He'd run out of strength. His own mortal strength was gone now. Well, he had more than mortal strength to begin with. But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. Now, not the jaw he was holding, but the jaw shape of the rock where he was, where they named the place. And there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, the spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name of it Enkakor, which is in Lehi unto this day. And the name of that place is Spring of the Caller. You know, God is able to open a rock and bring water out when we need it. When did he do that before? Didn't he do that for Moses? Didn't he do it twice? In the time of Moses, when they needed water, you know, I cannot in any way understand how a couple million people could walk across that Sinai Peninsula, that Sinai Desert, with all their cattle and all their sheep. How could they possibly do it? There's no stream across there. Where did the cattle all get the grass to eat? How did it happen? And then they turned away from God and began to turn to other gods. How long is your memory, brethren? Has not God given you miracles in the time of your past that you can turn to and say, oh, God will never let me down. God will never turn away from me. Why should I trust in something else? All right, so Samson has yet to deal with the spirit of the harlot. Judges chapter 16, verse 1, then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. He's got a problem in his natural man. He's got a problem. He's attracted to harlotry. Now, let's turn this away from the natural, because there's a spiritual lesson here. He was attracted to harlot churches. Yeah, that's what it meant. Okay, it was natural. But the spiritual picture here is he's attracted to harlot churches. By the way, can harlot churches be attractive? What is there about it that we like? We go to church, we don't have to think. The pastor will tell us what to think. He'll tell us what the word is. Somebody will choose the songs. In fact, they'll probably be listed up there, number 243, number 312. We just go down through, sing all four verses, get them all sung. All right, we've done our thing. Now let's just sit here, and you know what? We're going to have a good time. And after church, we're all going to get together, have a big family dinner, and we're going to have a nice afternoon. Maybe we'll watch the ball game or something. Nice, pleasant time. No conflict, no problem. Well, it's the harlot. There's no question about this woman. This woman is a harlot. She's not necessarily trying to be good or anything like that. Just no pretense. She has no plan to be the bride. She's going to carry on, grind away at church. That's it. Well, he's in trouble here. How many sons of God are sitting in the harlot's house? How many sons of God? You know, I remember Brother DeSille, we're talking about the lost coin, the lost son. What was the other lost thing? The lost. Now, what were the three of them? The coin, the son.
Lost sheep.
Sheep, okay. Yeah, that's what Rita said, the lost sheep. Okay. How many lost sons are sitting on a bar stool today? When are they going to come to themselves and say, what am I doing here in the pig pen? What am I doing here with a swine? What am I doing eating this stuff? When am I going to come to myself? Well, something like that must have happened to Samson. Samson did not know that they were planning to kill him, that they had the gate locked, and they were just waiting, leave him there tonight. When the sun comes up and we can see, then we will kill him, and he won't be able to do anything about it. Somehow the Spirit of God at midnight came to this man. Brethren, are we coming close to midnight? What happened among the virgins at midnight? The cry was made. I don't think everybody heard that cry, but I think the virgins heard it. Now you say, well, Samson was probably acting like a very foolish virgin here, wasn't he? He had no business being in that harlot's house. But you know, there's something about Samson, his natural man, he has a weakness for these kind of women. He likes this kind of church. Amen? So, at midnight, what's it say here? And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in. They surrounded him and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city. Well, he's going to have to go out that gate if he's going to get out of here. He can't jump over the wall. It's one thing he couldn't do. And they were quiet all night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. You know, the harlot system will eventually kill you if you stay with it. And I'm not just talking about the Roman Catholic Church, brethren. When I talk about the harlot system, we're talking about that woman that is unfaithful to the Lord, unfaithful to the Word, unfaithful to the Spirit. We don't know anything about this woman. We don't know her name. We don't know anything else about her except that he was in a harlot's house. And Samson lay till midnight and arose at midnight. And we're talking about midnight again here. Midnight. And took the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts and went away with them, bar and all, and put upon his shoulders and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. Now, I looked this up on a map one time. And from Gaza to Hebron, if he actually took them to Hebron, it looks like 40 miles. 40 miles! Let's talk about this gate and these posts. Do you know how they built the gates to these cities? They had a stone wall that could have been 2, 3, 4 feet thick, a wall that you could not break down, and they made a gate to the wall, and the gate was a bifold gate. In other words, it would swing two ways. They were very heavy. The gate itself was made of logs, shall we say, wood. And it was probably, it could have been as much as 2 feet thick. You know what I mean? These walls, these gates, these doors, if you want to call them that, were made to withstand the battering ram. Now, a battering ram, think of something about the size of a telephone pole, okay? Something around at least that size. Something that men, maybe 20, 30 men could pick up this, I think, maybe 20 or 30 men could pick up a telephone pole, and they would rush at the gate, and they would ram that gate, and they would back up, and they would run at it again, and they would ram it again, and they would ram this thing and back and forth and ram this thing as long as somebody was shooting arrows at them. They would ram this thing until they could break it down. Eventually, you could break it down. But it took a lot of pressure, and they make two bifold because the weight of this thing, it needed two posts to hold this thing. These posts, again, would be the size of a telephone pole, and it would go down in the ground 6, 8, 10 feet deep into the ground, so that it would withstand the moving of these doors. Now, this is something. What do you think this thing might have weighed? Where are you, Jeremy? Are you still here? Yeah. What do you think this thing might have weighed? You're a contractor, you're a construction guy. What do you think this gate and these posts What do you think that weighed? Tons, wouldn't you say?
I was going to say a couple of tons would be my guess.
And how would you go about pulling all this up out of the ground? Do you have a machine there that you guys work with that is capable of pulling that out?
I probably have one that could, but if it was me back in them days, I'd be going for the hinges, I think.
All right. So, but the point is, he pulled it all out of the ground. What kind of hydraulic pressure, what kind of machine, what kind of crane would it take to pull all this up out of the ground?
It would take a pretty hefty machine. I got a 10,000-pound forklift that could probably do it, but for a man to have that kind of strength is insane.
All right, now tell me another thing. Human being, human bones. Would the bones in your arms, would they be capable of that kind of pressure? No, you'd be breaking the bones of your hands, your arms, your legs. Your bones could not stand the kind of pressure that Jeremy's machine would be capable of pulling out. Now, put all this on your shoulders. Your bones are going to break. They're going to crumble. You can't do it. And I'm thinking, I used to think, well, what did Samson look like? Did he look like Arnold Schwarzenegger? You know who Arnold Schwarzenegger is, the big tough guy. No, Arnold could not pull this out. What if Samson was about the size of Cody? Wouldn't that be a miracle of God? A little guy, 100, 110 pounds, gets a hold of these things and just pulls them up out. See, this is the Spirit of God. This is not a man doing this. Couple tons on his back.
And you're saying, Mark, he carried him 40 miles. That's, at walking pace, that's roughly 13 hours.
Something happened here that was not natural. It doesn't matter how big that man was. He could be the smallest man, and he could still do this. Pull him out. It was God that pulled it out. It was God that carried it on this man's shoulders. Hallelujah. All right, so he got a victory. Now he's going to behave himself. He's going to stay away from harlot business. But that's not the way it ended, is it? So, in verse 4, and it says, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Why did it give her? The other woman didn't have a name. In fact, the other two didn't have a name. Why does it give the name of this woman and the valley of Sorek? That should have been a clue, because Samson knew the language. He knew what her name meant. Here's what her name meant. Delilah. To be brought low. He came into the house. It says he fell in love with this woman. Something charmed him in a woman named to be brought low. Well, who's going to be brought low? He's going to be the one that's brought low. To be brought low, languishing, impoverished, Well, she wasn't too impoverished. I mean, as soon as Samson got settled in there, she tried to make a deal with the Philistines. She said, "Hey, I have an opportunity here. The Philistines are after this fellow. He seems to be too strong, but I'm going to find out what his secret is, and they're going to bring me money, and I'm going to get very rich." I mean, that's harlot thinking, isn't it? I'm going to get rich. I'm going to take advantage of this. And, I can retire on this. So to be brought low, amen. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him and see wherein his great strength lie." They knew there had to be a secret. He's a man of flesh and blood. I mean, blood runs through his veins. He walks upright. He eats food. There's got to be a secret here. And see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him and afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Boy, she is going to retire. She's going to become a millionaire if she can figure this out. Remember, we've got a harlot church here. We've got a harlot. That's what it means. Amen. Oh, by the way, she's in the Valley of Sorek. She's in the Valley of Sorek. Sorek is a place of vineyards, and it means a choice vine. Some of the best of the grapes, some of the best of wine that comes from this. Some of the best and most pleasant intoxication. Some of the best drunkenness. Oh, they've got some good doctrines. You're going to get rich if you listen to these preachers. You're not going to have any more troubles. Amen. You're going to go straight to heaven. It doesn't matter how you live. Just come on in, have a good time. When you get in here, we're going to make music just like the world, and oh boy, we're really going to crank it up. And you can dance and you can have a good time when you come into our meetings. And we're not going to talk about sin. We're not going to make your conscience stirred. We're not going to make you feel bad at all. You're just going to go out feeling just really great. Temptation, fermentation, leaven, and to be oppressed. This is the valley that we're in now, Valley of Sorg. We've got a good harlot church going on here. Amen. We've got thousands that come every day. Big auditorium, big preacher up front. And by the way, I'm reading more and more preachers that are falling. Just last week, a fellow had to resign. He was in trouble. This is one of these churches. Well, what kind of activity do we have here in this church? We've got Christian rock. Did you know that there could be such a thing as Christian rock? And then we've got Christian rap. I heard a guy do Christian rap one time. I don't remember what he said, but he was trying to preach salvation through rap. And Jesus will save your soul, and you can be this, and you can be that, and blah, 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 blah. Well, Christian rap. Oh, the young people love it. I mean, it's just like listening to those rap guys out there, isn't it? Christian rock. You know what happens sometimes is a rock band guy. Every now and then they get saved. And the sad thing is, he gets into the church, and the church says, "Well, you're a famous guy. You got a big name. Why don't you just change some of the words in your song? You can make the same beat, but just put some Christian words in there, and it's going to be Christian music now. It'll be Christian rap. Well, they're going to preach the rapture, and they're going to preach ultimate reconciliation. Okay, there'll be no tribulation. You'll just be caught away when trouble comes. And they're going to have a youth pastor. They're going to have women's church. They're going to have men's church, special groups for men, special groups for women. Everybody's going to have just what they want. My goodness, when did Jesus say we should have men's church and women's church and youth church? And we're going to have the abomination of desolation here too. Let me read that in Matthew 24. But they're not going to be preaching this word. Matthew 24, verse 15. Let's go back to verse 13. Oh, let's go back. They're even going to have false prophets. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Where are these false prophets going to rise? Are they going to be on CNN? Are they going to be NBC? Will they be a host on Fox News? No, no, no. False prophets show up in church. Okay? What verse was? Oh, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What is iniquity? Iniquity is lawlessness. It's doing whatever you want. Well, we don't care what the Word of God says. We're going to do it the new way. Amen? But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not going to be preached either. Amen? And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Amen. I'm praying that this gospel gets preached into Iran. Those people have been so bound. The word of God has been kept. Even Saudi Arabia. Come on, Lord, let the word go out in Saudi Arabia. Places of Islam that would kill people. God is going to bring it in there. Right up there in northern Nigeria, there's a bunch of people that would keep the word of God out. What's the name of those people up there, Brother Emma?
The Muslims.
What is it?
Muslim.
Yeah, Muslims. But there's a special group up there. What is that group called?
Boko Haram.
Ah, yes, that's the name. Yes. Come on. Lord, break that spirit. Break it down. Come on. Let the word of God come in there and just sweep that right out of there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Come on, brethren, the outer court does not believe in the fullness of the Spirit. We've come beyond that. We've come into the holy place. This stuff is getting into the holy place church. Abomination of desolation is what Jesus, the term that Jesus Christ used. Hallelujah. All right, so what happened is this woman, chapter 16, And this woman is starting to work on him. Amen. And it says here, and Delilah said to Samson, Delilah, to be brought low, said to Samson in an attempt to bring him low. He's very relaxed in there now, isn't he? I mean, he's just very comfortable. I mean, he sleeps, he puts his head on her lap, and she's stroking his hair and say, oh, what a nice fellow you are, you know. And tell me, my dear, tell me, what is the secret? What is the secret of your great strength? Oh, what a mighty man you are. Oh, how I love you, you know. Oh, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with seven green withes that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Well, they tried that. You know, come on, Samson, what is the matter with you? Are you stupid or what? Come on, you've got to be able to figure this out. I mean, this other woman, the other one down there that you wanted for a wife, she did the same thing. She pestered you and cried and, oh, you don't love me. And you know what happened? And here's another one, the harlot system doing the same thing, working on your mind. And they tried it, and he popped them and broke them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her. Come on, she brought them right into the house. Where were they hiding? Samson, the Philistines are here. By the way, do you know that the word Philistine is in our English vocabulary? Did you know that? Did you know that somebody could say, well, he's a Philistine, and it has nothing to do with over there in Israel or Gaza, has nothing to do with it. There was some famous English writer, I don't know how long ago, he wrote and he made a new definition of the word Philistine. Do you know what it was? Anybody that was crude and didn't like culture and didn't like the better things of life, he was a Philistine. In other words, you could say, well, he's a redneck, or he's a woodchuck, or he's a hillbilly. That is the equivalent of the word Philistine now today. But people don't use it very often. But I've heard it used. I've heard him say, well, he's a Philistine, isn't he? He's uneducated, you know. That's their new definition of Philistine. Isn't that interesting that they took that word of the Philistines and brought it up to date to a definition in modern English today? All right, so that didn't work. Samson broke free of that. And then she goes at him again, verse 10. Delilah said to Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Well, what are you guys trying to do to me? You're trying to kill me. And she's complaining, you mocked me, you told me lies. You don't really love me. If you really loved me, I could kill you. Come on, Samson. Have you lost your mind? This is deception. Brethren, this is an example of deception. You know, I'm seeing deception in people that say they're Christians. Oh my, I'm not going to go into that. And he said to her, if they bind me fast with new ropes, and on it goes. And the Philistines hide in the corner, and when she's got, she did the binding. Samson, do you sleep that hard that you can't tell that she's tying you up? What kind of spirit is coming across this man? And then she says, oh, Samson, the Philistines are here again. And he breaks them. He breaks them. And here's another, verse 16. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily. How long did this go on? Did this go on for several months? With her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Now, I've got a verse here that I want to, oh, it's in Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. This is one of the tactics, by the way, of the devil, to wear you down, to go after you and after you and after you until you get worn down. Let me read the verse. It's in the prophecy of the Antichrist that's coming upon the world to wear you down. Chapter 7, verse 25. Well, let me start in verse 23 so we know what we're talking about. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth. We're coming into the days of that fourth kingdom now, brethren. Amen. The kingdoms are being shuffled around so that they will all fit into this fourth kingdom. Amen. And shall be diverse or different from all kingdoms, and shall devour. By the way, the kingdom of Iran is the old kingdom of Persia, the old kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the head of gold? My, Iran's come a long way from the old kingdom of Persia, hasn't it? And shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. Hallelujah. And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. What was Delilah doing? She was wearing out Samson. Why didn't he hit the door? Out of there, like he did that other one back in Gaza. Hit the door and out. And he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think or attempt to change the times and laws. My, aren't the laws being changed here? They're making laws in schools now that if the child wants to say they're another sex, then you have to call them by that other he or she, and you can't offend them. They're trying to make these laws. Amen. And think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time, but the judgment. Amen. But the judgment shall sit. The court, that means the court, shall be in session. Amen. Judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. That's the bottom line, brethren. That's the end. Well, back to our dear friend Samson. He finally revealed what the issue was. How can you say, thou, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? And thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength. Come on, three times, Samson. This is not a game. She's out to kill you. She's out to kill you. Amen. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came unto her and brought money in their hand. She'd been preaching prosperity. Now she's the one that's going to prosper. Amen. And she made him sleep on her knees. What kind of a Jezebel spirit is this, that she can cause him to sleep on her knees? And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. You hang around in these harlot spiritual places, these harlot churches. You hang around with them long enough and you lose your sensitivity. You've been drinking their intoxicating doctrines, their intoxicating, comfortable ways, user-friendly church. We're just friendly. You're just in a nice bunch here. You're going to lose your sensitivity. You're going to lose the presence of the Spirit. You won't have the strength anymore to resist. So they took him. They took him. They bound him up. And he couldn't get loose. So they took him. And they put his eyes out. The Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. So what kind of spiritual atmosphere does he have now? What's the church he's in now? He's just grinding away, every week, every day, just grinding the millstone. Nothing new, no spiritual life. He just goes every week. He's very faithful. Well, he has no choice. He's bound. He has to do it. They got him doing the work of a donkey now. Donkeys used to turn those things and grind away at those big wheels that would grind the grain. Doing the work of an ass now. Well, one day they had a big party. Amen. They had a, let me find the word here. It says, then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon. Who's this Dagon? Dagon is their god. He's the god of lust. He's the god of flesh. He's the god of physical pleasure. They worshiped him. Those were the Philistines. They liked that kind of thing, you know? Philistines. And to rejoice, for they said, our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. We're the winners now. Samson's the loser. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, our God hath delivered unto our hand our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. We knew at least 1,000. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry. They're really having a party here. They're drinking and dancing and listening to their music. Amen. That they said, call for Samson. Well, today they'd put him on television. They'd have him there. There'd be what do they call those people that run the television shows? The anchors. They have all the anchors there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, here's Samson. Look at him now. He was the big man yesterday. He's just a prisoner. He's got shackles on. There he is down there in the front between the pillars while we're having a good time up here on top. Oh, look at dear old Samson. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport. He made them sport. Yeah. He performed for them. Mm-hmm. And they set him between the pillars. And Samson said to the lad that held him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars wherein the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men. Men, what kind of a building is this? 3,000 of them up on the roof of this thing held up by pillars. Amen. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. See, in his fooling around in the harlot's house, he'd lost his vision. He couldn't think straight anymore. I mean, she keeps trying and trying to bind him. And he'd wake up, oh, it was just a joke. Come on, Samson. They're trying to kill you. You've lost your spiritual eyes already. He'd already lost them. Now he lost them in the natural. So I can see Samson here. There's a young fellow, a boy, probably about a 13-year-old boy. Hey, lad, come here. Put my hand against these pillars, would you? There we go. Yeah, I'm going to lean against them a little bit. Listen, boy, you're a good lad. Even though you're a Philistine, you're still a good lad. I want you to run as far away from here as you can. I want you to go right now. Get away from here because something's going to happen, and you don't need to be caught in this. You're just a boy. So the boy let go of Samson's hand, and he ran. I believe he did. Doesn't say that, but I believe Samson let him go. He didn't want to kill that boy. And Samson leaned against these pillars. Now, here's another thing. This is like pulling those gates out, pulling the corner posts. Not just going for the hinges, but pulling the whole corner post. This is pillars, big pillars holding this thing up. You look at the the pictures of those Greek pillars that, you know, that you've seen pictures of them. These are pillars that are put, what, 2 and 3 feet across, made out of solid rock to fit perfectly. Now, what do you think these things, down here at the bottom of this thing, and there's 3,000 people on the structure above, there's no way a human being can push these things out of there in his natural strength. No way human bones can do this, or muscles. I mean, you'd be snapping tendons all over the place trying to do this. And he just pushes. And the power of God, the Spirit and the power of God come on him again. And these things begin to shake. And the whole house comes down. Amen. It says, and Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Maybe he is a type of Christ. He's going to lay his life down here. Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might. Well, he had the might of the Spirit of God on him too. And the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death was more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him. My goodness, there was enough of him to pick up and take. And took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. What happened to Samson? Did he go to heaven? I believe he did. How can we tell? Can we prove that he went to heaven?
Yes. He's in Hebrews chapter 11. He's mentioned.
That's where I was going to go, Larry. Let's find Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32.
Sometimes I know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you do, Larry. 11:32.
Oh, God.
Let me just read a few verses here.
My stones.
Larry, you're not muted, by the way. This is the cloud of witnesses, isn't it? It says, now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Abraham was looking for that city, wasn't he? By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting unto God, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not ashamed, they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he be destroyed, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essayed to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and Samson. There he is. And Jephthah and David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. That certainly sounds like Samson, doesn't it? Waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mocking and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Samson is waiting for us. Samson, Rahab, all the rest of them, they're not perfect yet until we come in and join them and finish the battle. Amen. Samson is among the great witness company, among the two witnesses. We're going to be part of that too. Amen.